Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for the next hour, is going to be the views of Ron Brown, who sells gold and silver. He's a good personal friend, and I've done business with him in the past. He does support Radio Liberty, but we always really enjoy having him on with us. And before we did that, I wanted to talk a little bit about Iran. As you know, why they postponed the attack on Iran. Israel is going to attack Iran, and then we're going to be drawn into the war. But apparently that was put off, whether it's because of the coming elections, I don't know. But we do know that the Obama administration had made a statement that it looked like it would probably be at least another year before Iran has a nuclear weapon. Now, I don't know whether they're really working on nuclear weapons or not. I've talked to retired intelligence agents who tell me they're really not. This is all hype to justify a totally unnecessary war, but be that as it may, it was just this last week there was an article on the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. You have to understand the Wall Street Journal is controlled by Mr. Murdoch, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, part of the establishment. But of course, you have to understand that these people are all part of this complex, what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. And this editorial article in the Wall Street Journal was just talking about how we may very well have to resort to military use to keep Iran from building a bomb and endangering the whole world. Of course, we're not concerned that Pakistan has the bomb, and China has the bomb, and India has the bomb, and Russia has the bomb, and Israel has the bomb. But well, my goodness, those Iranians who we put in power back in 1979, what a terrible thing to think they may get it. Editorial page article in the New York Times, which is also part of the Brotherhood of Darkness this week, didn't mention military attack on Iran, but did talk about how we had to keep the pressure up on Iran and put the pressure on China to hold on to the sanctions. So basically, they're still focusing on Iran, and I think it's only a matter of time before we go into another unnecessary, totally manipulated war, and millions may well die. This time, far many more. Remember the First World War. There were about 70 million killed or injured, 21 million killed, and the rest injured. Second World War, probably 60 million killed, and maybe another 100 million injured, maybe 150 million killed or injured in the Second World War. But the next war, I fear, is going to be far worse because, of course, we've given the nuclear weapons to Pakistan. And if you haven't read the Civil Inman story, totally suppressed in the United States, go to our website, radioliberty.com. I believe it's January 2008, the Sybil Edmund story. Read it and weep. And with that as the background, good evening, Ron. How is it going tonight?
Just fine, Dr. Stan. It's been a long week.
Well, it really has. Well, you bring us up to date. What's going on from your point of view?
Well, I believe, and everyone I read, I'm sure you're reading some of the same people, they're all saying exactly the same thing, that we're about to break out of this previous resistance levels and go into the next leg up in gold and silver, and probably the next leg down in the financial markets, especially if what you're talking about with wars. You know, I don't think our economy, our financial system can take another major war. But if you look at gold, gold had a previous high back in 2008 of $1,260 or so. Silver peaked at $21. And then the establishment did everything they could to fight it down, beat it down over the next two and a half years. But here we are right back up with gold breaking out and silver on the verge of breaking out. And what I think people need to understand is that we're about to go in the third up leg, and that is the blow-off stage. And that's when, for example, back in the 70s, when silver was making its move, it started in 1971, made its first leg up to like $6.40. They corrected it, and it made another move. But
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Ron, go right ahead. You were just saying it made the second leg up, and when what happened then?
Then they beat it down to about $3, and then it worked its way up. And the third and last leg started in late 78, early 79. Silver was at $5 an ounce. A year later, it was $52 an ounce. And gold in that same period went from $200 or $192 actually to $870. So here we are on this leg going into the third leg up. Silver is still trading at $20. Yet on this, if we go up just the same percentages as we went back in 1979, silver would have to go to $200 just to match what it did, you know, the same percentage rise. The reality is it's probably going to be much greater because this time around the whole financial system worldwide is bankrupt. The whole world fiat money systems that have been in place in America since, 1913, is now falling apart. This time around, I do not believe the system will survive it. Now, the only reason I would stop short of saying silver is going to go to 200, 300, even 500 is simply because before you ever get to that point, there will be a national emergency declared, and we'll have this monetary reform, and the people that are running the show, of course, have an agenda, and that is to eliminate the Constitution and the sovereignty of America and submerge us into this world government. And I'm sure your war in Iran has a lot to do, fits right into that picture.
Well, has business been good this last week? Are people beginning to realize that we're on the edge of something very, very large?
Yeah, just starting this month, as I think I've explained on previous programs, the first 4 or 5 months of the year were just fantastic from my standpoint. And then we went into your typical summer doldrums. You know, I believe the insiders have brainwashed the world like Pavlovian dogs, because we've all heard the saying, sell in May and go away. And so typically in the summer, the markets go into the doldrums, and that's what we saw this past 2 months. But now all of a sudden, as we go into September, that's the bullish season for gold and silver, and people are starting to see it, so they're waking up. And it's happening at about the time that they're suddenly having to talk about quantitative easing too, which is a grand admission from the people at the top that QE1 hasn't worked. And they've, of course, been telling us for 2 years that it's we've turned the tide and the worst is over. Well, the reality is while they have pumped a bunch of money into the system and propped up some of the...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ron is just saying that, you know, they pumped a lot of money into the system. We don't know how much they put in, $2.5 trillion, and there's another $8 trillion out there someplace. Nobody knows where it's going on. The Federal Reserve System says we don't have to tell anybody because we are not a government agency, and that's true. They're a privately owned bank. They're owned by the banks, and they're the ones who are supposed to regulate the banks, and they are regulating them so that they can make ever so much more money, but they're all in on the scam. They're all dedicated to this idea of creating the new international financial system and certainly of destroying the sovereignty of our country, impoverishing our people. They know what they're doing. They just don't want the public to know. Because this all fits into the Trilateral Commission scheme of the one world government and the one world religion. It's not simply by accident that their logo is an upside down broken cross. Look at it. You can find it at trilateral.org. Well, anyway, because Ron was talking about how the quantitative easing hasn't worked. Most people don't know what quantitative easing is. They use that term so they won't be able to figure out what they're talking about. They're really talking about just monetizing, in other words, creating money and buying their own debt and simply just massively increasing the money supply. I mean, after all, what's money worth? The paper is printed on. There's nothing behind it. Traditionally, money has always had intrinsic value. That was the great thing about money. You had to have something intrinsic value so you couldn't increase the amount of it simply by whim, or allow some people, call them bankers, call them what you will, I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness, simply to print money and be able to buy your home and buy your business and buy everything you have with money that they created out of nothing. But that's what they're in the process of doing today. They call it quantitative easing. Isn't that a clever name, Ron?
Right. It's just another euphemism for just running the printed press and funny money. And, of course, the scriptures tell us the borrower becomes the slave to the lender. And so what do? They make money easy, or credit easy for people. They go out and get over their head in whether it's cars or houses, as we saw in the housing boom. And then when they're ready, they pull the plug on the system. And then you have people that are just thrown into bondage. They're behind the eight ball. They're underwater on their mortgages, and there's no way out for them.
And more people are losing their homes every day. It's estimated that another million people will lose their homes this year. And we don't know how many million have already lost their homes. But, and certainly this is the scam. They made it so easy to buy a home. Why nothing down? You could they would even sometimes. I had a friend of mine who actually got $25,000 just for buying a house early part of the boom there. Of course, basically what they had was this predatory lending practice. Certainly lend money to people they knew would never be able to repay the loan. Well, they're doing it again. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are doing it, and they can do that without worry, because now they are government agencies, the American taxpayers responsible for whatever happens, and they are in the process of selling homes again to people who can't afford them, knowing full well that going to go bankrupt, and that you, ladies and gentlemen, your life savings is going to go to fund all these people who are buying homes who can't afford it, eventually going to lose their homes, and then, of course, they'll be taken over by the banks, and they're going to have big smiles on their face, the bankers will, and you'll be stuck with the bill for it. Well, anyway, of course, Ron, sir, you're talking to people out across America every day in doing the type of work you do. Do you think there's a growing awareness of what's going on, or a lot of people just very uncertain, wondering if we're going to have another October like they had in 1929? It was in October 1929 when the bottom simply dropped out of the market. The stock market today, the average individual isn't in the stock market. They got out of the stock market. They keep saying, the market's going to go up. Isn't everything great? It's all manipulated by the plunge protection team. They're trying to keep the suckers in, or maybe get a few more suckers into the market. But one of these days, it's certainly going to go down. The Baltic Dry Index is falling. That means the shipping throughout the world is falling. And, of course, the economy over in China is contracting. The economy in Europe is contracting. Most countries have massive debts that they can never repay, like the United States, according to Professor Kitlikoff. He says that our real national debt is about $212 trillion. That's all the money we promised to pay out, and we have no possible way of ever paying it. It's just a matter that if we're going to go default, or default on our loans and our bonds and our promises, but when we are going to do it. But you go ahead, Ron.
Well, as I've said many times and we've discussed, that even the greatest magician eventually runs out of rabbits. So when you go into this Keynesian boom-bust cycle that we've been on since 1913, every time you get through a cycle, the national debt is greater on each cycle. And after 5, 6, 7 cycles, we now have the national debt, as you said, just the admitted debt is, what, 13.5, approaching $14 trillion. That doesn't even count Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, which is really nothing more than government spending. So if you just added that to the pot, you're talking $18 to $20 billion there. Then, of course, if you start talking about contingent liabilities and the commitments they've made, now you get up to that $70 to $200 trillion you're talking about. So at some point, this thing has to come to an end. And what I would argue, and what all the analysts that I'm reading are saying, we are at that point. For example, Jim Willey just put out an article, and basically he was saying that 4 states are right on the verge of total bankruptcy. Your state is one of them, Dr. Stanley, as you probably know better than I do. California, Michigan, Illinois, and New York, he pointed out. Those 4 states alone represent 25% of our gross national product. So if they're on the verge of going in the bankruptcy and defaulting on all their obligations, then that puts the federal government in a position where they either step up and bail them out, or it sends the whole economy plunging into a black hole. So if they step in to bail it out, which I think they probably will, they've done it with food stamps and many other things, but if they step in to bail it out, then immediately you're going to see 46 other states raise their hand and say, me too, because we're in trouble too, right? And right after that, you're going to see 1,000 mayors of the municipalities around the country raising their hand and saying, me too. So we're at between a rock and a hard place. If you step in to bail them out, then you have to bail everything out, and then you go into hyperinflation, and that's a blow-off that we're talking about. But if you don't bail them out, then you go into a black hole deflationary collapse, and either one of them is a total collapse of our system.
Well, you know, here in California, we've got $500 billion, $500 billion of pension obligations for our state employees, and no possible way of paying that off. We can't even pay, the money we're supposed to pay this year into the pension fund, but we can't, we're going to have a hard time, making the dividends on the bonds. We have at least a $20 billion, some people say a $40 billion deficit here in California this year. I'll tell you what, this woman running for on the Republican ticket, Meg Whitman, I talked to a gentleman, a good friend of mine, but we disagree on what the solutions to the problems are. But Meg Whitman has said she wants to have a part-time legislature. And, of course, the thing is, why would the legislature want to just have a part-time? They like to be up there in Sacramento all the time passing laws to make our lives miserable. And I think a part-time legislature is great. She wants to fire 40,000 state employees. Well, they say, but who's she going to employ? Going to fire the police? Going to fire the fire department? Who's she going to fire, She wants to cut capital gains and cut the income tax. Well, how can we do that when we got a deficit? Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's no way we can get out of the mess we are today unless we can certainly stimulate investment and stimulate people, to work hard. You get what you subsidize. If you let people keep their own money, they're going to work. You take it away from them, they're not going to work. And I think that program sounds great to me. I'd love to see a part-time legislature. Basically, I think it was Will Rogers who said that no man's purse or property are safe when the legislature's in session. I think those are wonderful ideas. I wish we had somebody run for president under that concept.
I agree. Of course, we've reached the point now where the whole system is being bogged down by this massive debt structure. It's no different than an individual who's gone out and abused their credit limits, and they're to the point where every penny they have has to pay just the interest on their debt. And so how do you work out of that mess? And in the case of an individual, what they typically do is you have to declare bankruptcy. So we're going to have to write off the debt of these international, these big bankers who are sitting there with all this toxic paper, which is a fraud, because they're sitting there with mortgage paper, and they passed a rule that says you can value that those mortgages at whatever you deem is the real value. So you're sitting there with banks with mortgages or paper that's not worth 20 cents on what they're valuing it at, and so their balance sheets look better, and it makes it look like they're making profits, but in reality they're all in a deep hole and they're on the verge of a collapse.
Well, people don't really understand the financial system. Basically, regular banks can lend up to about 10 times what the actual amount of money they have on deposit, but the investment banks, the big boys, can lend 40 or 50 times. That way, of course, they can simply buy bonds here in the state of California that pay 6% interest on money they've created out of nothing. They put up maybe $100, and they can lend maybe $5,000, and so that's really pretty good. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to scam people, but they don't have any of their own money up. Basically, they could put up $100, they could lend $1,000, they could lend about $5,000 based upon that. But they wouldn't lose any money because they only had $100 in it. Well, I think we're going to have to just go ahead and default on our debts and tell them, look, you didn't have any real money out there. It was all part of this fraudulent scheme, this so-called fractional reserve banking. You only have to have the major banks 2 or 3% of actual capital to go ahead and lend $100. And this is the way that they've done this. And countries throughout the world are simply going to have to say, we're not going to play your game anymore. We're going to have to get back to solid economics. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY-464-8295. We've got a financial house of cards built upon absolutely nothing. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Rhonda, are you hearing people talking about default? I really think this is what the European countries, the so-called pig nations, ought to do. I think that's what the United States ought to do. I think that's what the state of California ought to do, is just say, we're not going to pay your money back. Certainly Argentina did that a few years ago. I mean, probably 6 or 8 years ago, a lot of people got hurt, of people who were foolish enough to buy Argentine bonds. And Argentina said, we'll give you 20 cents on the dollar, take it or get nothing. And people were glad to get the 20 cents on the dollar.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that is coming, because at some point they run out of ways to prop it up. But you've heard the old saying, nothing is confirmed until officially denied. And, of course, the politicians will tell you that there is no way we'll default, and when it happens, it'll just happen overnight, and it'll catch everyone by total surprise. But they are running out of ways to keep the balls, you know, in the air. The whole system is about to implode, just from the debt structure is just totally unsustainable. And, you know, bottom line, what we have is a monetary financial system that's based on confidence. It's a confidence game. So as you do more and more desperate things to try to hold the house of cards together, then you start to destroy the confidence worldwide. And we're already seeing that the world is cutting off our credit. China and the rest of them are net sellers of our bonds. So it makes you ask the question, if we're having to borrow 3, 4, 5, 10 times what we've ever had to borrow before, and the people who've loaned it to us in the past are saying not no, but hell no, who is loaning us the money? And there's only one answer, and it's the Federal Reserve System, who's creating this funny money, just printing money out of nothing, monetizing the debt, and that goes only to destroy further the credibility in the system. So at some point, the system will hit critical mass and go into a meltdown.
I agree with you totally. The question is, you know, if people aren't prepared for this, they're going to be in real trouble. And, of course, if they think that they're going to be able to, you know, maintain their wealth by investing in stocks or investing in bonds or making the traditional investments that have been made in the past, everything has changed. We are living in an entirely different world. A lot of people have insurance annuities. A lot of people have their money certainly invested in the bank, you know, and they get, maybe they don't get much interest out of it, but their money is secure in the bank. At least they think their money is secure in the bank. But what they don't understand is the FDIC is bankrupt. I mean, they do not have sufficient money to pay back the money that's in the banks. But they say, well, but we could not ever go bankrupt because we're backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. Well, that is true. But, I mean, the credit of the United States government, other countries don't want to lend us any money. The federal government doesn't have any money, so they're just having to print a lot of the money that they're using to buy the government bonds that's keeping the whole system going. And as far as having any faith in the government, certainly I love America, but we have an invisible government that has a different agenda and is in the process of destroying the financial structure of this nation. So I have very little faith in these people who have a different agenda. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And the average individual out there is really going to have to start becoming aware of what's going on. There are only a very, very few sources of reliable information. And there's certainly Jim Willey, you mentioned, I think does an excellent job. Gerald Celente, I think, has great information. Peter Schiff, Bob Chapman. People are going to have to realize that you cannot trust the people. The smiling faces on television. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ron Brown. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you've got a question or comment upon what's going on financially. But basically what's happening is more and more people are losing their jobs. And basically, they tell you it's 9.6% unemployment, and they're simply lying. If you go up on the Internet and you look at U6 unemployment, don't look at U2 unemployment. These are the government's own statistics. The U6 unemployment is 16.5%, somewhere in there. And basically, that is not only the people who are unemployed, The people now who have suddenly are no longer receiving a check. They're unemployed, but they're not receiving unemployment insurance. The people who are underemployed, in other words, they've had to take a dramatic reduction in their wages or having to work two or three jobs just to try to survive. And then, of course, the people who've given up, and an awful lot of people. After you get 50 years of age and you lose your good-paying job, you're not going to get another one, and eventually they just give up looking for work. But as long as the government will continue giving them unemployment insurance, why they're not going to go out and take a menial job that's only going to pay them a quarter of what they made before. The difficulty is that the government is progressively running out of money as well, and they're not going to be able to continue paying unemployment insurance. So people are losing their homes, they're losing their jobs. Certainly, if you go around the country and you look at the strip malls, why the little businesses are closing. And, of course, Obama has said he's, of course, going to start anybody who makes over $200,000 a year. He's simply going to raise their taxes and raise them significantly. And yet, 50% of the small businesses in this country, which produce 70% of the jobs, 50% of them, the people make over $200,000 a year, husband and wife, or $250,000, husband and wife. And so what Mr. Obama is going to do, what the one thing we need to do is get small businesses working so we can get people back employed. He's going to raise their taxes, discourage them, and of course that's going to be just one more nail in the coffin of our recovery. Go ahead, Bob, Ron.
Well, you know, even if you were a small businessman and you were wanting to expand your business, you look at Washington and the rules they're passing, the law, there's so much uncertainty. There's no way you can make any plans to go into business because you don't know what they're going to do to you. If they come through with all these tax increases they're talking about, there's no way you can go out and expand your business and hire the people. So, you know, part of the illusion is that as more and more people go on the dole and the government hires people, you know, for example, the temporary jobs for the census, a lot of the new jobs that are being created are government jobs, and that's non-productive, so it's not producing anything. So it's just an illusion making things look a little better because that becomes part of the gross national product. And they say, well, the gross national product is going up 2% or whatever. In reality, if you were talking about real productive, real production, it's probably going down rather dramatically, I would say. So, again, it's just smoke and mirrors trying to hold this house of cards together. And, you know, they use the same fractional reserve banking to suppress the price of gold. And see, gold and silver is real money. It's honest money. It's not an IOU note from anyone. And it is a barometer of confidence in the paper system. So if people are losing confidence in paper, they will seek the refuge of gold and silver. So what do the bankers have to do? They have to suppress the price of gold and silver. And they've been doing that very effectively. Well, I won't say very effectively. I would say if they were real effective at it, you wouldn't see gold at $1,250 right now. But they've been trying to hold it down, and eventually they will run out of the ability to do that.
Well, I think really what's so interesting is we saw this article just this past week in the Wall Street Journal front page commenting that in Malaysia, in one of the states in Malaysia, well, they've gone back to actually using gold and silver as a medium of exchange. They have little gold coins, they have little silver coins, and but of course the Wall Street Journal ridiculed that idea. They say, but you know, how do you make change? You know, when you're using gold and silver, well, you use the regular coins of the realm. The copper coins and the nickel coins, you know, that we have here in this country. Basically, it costs more than a penny to make a one-penny coin, so it has intrinsic value. In fact, they even have laws that say you can't melt down the one-penny. Why? Because it's worth more than a penny. It has intrinsic value. And, of course, the same thing, of course, as nickel. So they'll do anything to ridicule this idea of gold and silver. But in Indonesia, in one region of Indonesia, they're going back to gold currency, traditional gold currency. And people throughout the world realize that America has dominated the world through a fraudulent economic system. And when America gets into trouble, which they are going to get into trouble, we may be the mightiest military nation in the world, But remember, at one time, Greece was the mightiest military nation. And then Rome was the mightiest military nation. And then Great Britain was the mightiest military nation. One time, Spain was the mightiest in the 1500s. But they all, of course, spent themselves into oblivion. Exactly what we're doing today. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY-464-8295. This is Dr. Stan McNair, and of course, you know, it was really very interesting. I was reading an article in the New American that talked about what happened in New Zealand. Certainly in the 1980s, they got massive debts, massive bureaucracy. New Zealand was simply on the ropes, and finally they elected a new president, and he was a socialist. And everybody thought he was going to do the same thing that had been creating all the disasters. He said, look, we're in a crisis situation. We're going to have to start getting rid of government employees. They had something like 17,000 people working in the forestry service. They ended up with 17. They had over 20,000 in social services. They ended up with 25. They laid off thousands of people, but of course it eventually got their economy working. Now people say, oh, well, there are only about 4,000 people, 4 million people in New Zealand, and that may very well be true. But the principles are solid. You cannot have a massive bureaucracy that is non-productive, regulating the individual and certainly spending, you know, the people's money to make their lives miserable, to drive industry out of the nation, to plot on how they're going to be able to take property away from people, to have more people in prison. The United States has more people in prison proportionally than any other nation in the world. Today in the United States, 1 in every 100 people is in American adults is in prison, adult males, and certainly 1 of every 33 adult males is in prison, probation, or parole. And then we wonder why it costs us so much for our prison system. Well, this is not going to change until we cut back on making a lot of things criminal that are not criminal. I'm reading a book called FBI Secrets, written by an FBI agent, who talks about how when he was there, they were knowingly sending innocent people to prison for life. They were knowingly sending innocent people to prison for life, the book FBI Secrets. You're not going to hear much about it. It's a little embarrassing to realize that could happen in America. But where is the outcry from the American people, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening and for this hour is Ron Brown. We're talking about the dire circumstances here in this country, and we're moving into October traditionally when the market takes a drop, if it's going to drop. And remember, the only reason it's up where it is now is we have the working group on financial markets, or the plunge protection team, that is manipulating the market. In fact, just today, they had a significant rise in the market on a low volume. Ladies and gentlemen, when the market is going up on a low volume, it means somebody is intentionally bidding the market up. Markets go up, a healthy market goes up at a high volume because people are getting in there. Low volume means that not very many people are buying, and they're manipulating the stock market prices. When you understand that, of course it's illegal, but when it's done with the full support of the major banks and the Brotherhood of Darkness and the Trilateral Commission and Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase and Citigroup and Bank of America and Morgan Stanley, when it's done with their full support, who are you going to complain to? the president, Mr. Obama, who's totally controlled by these people? Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, of course, our guest is Ron Brown. And, Ron, before we go on, I want you to get out your telephone number, tell people how they can get in touch with you, and what will happen if they do get in touch with you.
Okay, my 800 number is 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561. And anyone who wants to get some more information, I can send you some letters I've written in the past. But, you know, there's so many brilliant people out there, economists writing such wonderful stuff. What I've done lately is I simply, anyone who wants to be on my email list, I'll put them on in my address book. And whenever I see an article, two or three articles that I think are pertinent for everyone to watch, I'll just forward it to them. And I've been forwarding maybe two or three articles every week, week and a half. So it helps to keep people abreast of what's going on. And I know a lot of people have busy schedules, and so they don't have time to peruse it. So I kind of do it for you. I go through dozens of articles a day. So that's one way I can try to help you keep abreast of what's going on.
And I appreciate that. I'm on your email list, and I really always appreciate the articles you send. They're very, very reliable. You know, it's really very interesting. President Obama is giving the impression he's doing everything to try to get the economy moving. He is going to have a $50 billion spending spree. Of course, it has to go through Congress, but a $50 billion spending spree on roads and on bridges and on infrastructure. But we don't have the money. We're having to borrow it. How can you spend $50 billion on the infrastructure, you know, to build up the economy when you don't have $50 billion? Well, we'll just go out and borrow the money. And then, of course, he wants, of course, to stimulate the economy by allowing large businesses to write off all their major capital improvements, you know, within a year to 3 years, something like that, whereas before it would take 3 to maybe 20 years to write it off. But the thing is that the large companies have lots of money. Those that are in part of the Brotherhood of Darkness, they've got lots of money. They're just not spending it at the present time. They're all in the scam. They realize, of course, they're going to cripple this nation economically. And so they're not investing and they're not expanding. If they are expanding, they're moving their factories overseas because that's where we want them to move. That's why we give them special tax breaks if they move their factories overseas, and then they don't have to put up with all the harassment from the EPA and from OSHA and from all the government bureaucracies and the local planning commission and all these developmental systems you got to go through, you know, before you can actually put a plant in here in this country. So we're doing everything we can to encourage our industries to move overseas. They've already intentionally transferred 8 million American jobs overseas. And ladies and gentlemen, those aren't coming home. And Barack Obama knows that, but he's got to give this impression he's trying to do something. He's talking about suddenly allowing small businesses now suddenly to have the opportunity to write things off. But the small businesses, you know, suddenly they're not going to invest because they say, you know, well, why should we invest? I mean, why should we, for instance, buy new trucks or new equipment? What we need is customers. What we need is people actually buying our product. That's how we make our money, not buying a new tractor or buying a new delivery truck or suddenly opening another store. We need customers, and, of course, the people are not buying the way they used to because, basically, they're intentionally and purposely contracting our economy. The large banks are sitting in on the scam, and they're not lending because they want the economy to contract. The small banks are frightened to death, and they're being paid by the Fed not to lend money. In other words, they're being paid interest on the reserves they deposit with the Fed, Federal Reserve System. First time in history we have ever paid banks not to lend money, but they can't let the American people know that because you're supposed to believe the Obama administration is trying to get the economy moving, and yet it's doing exactly the opposite. What are your thoughts, Ron?
Well, first off, I think this $50 billion is nothing more than political rhetoric because all the stimulus package and all the tarps and all the other things went to bail out not the Main Street, but Wall Street. And the people are upset and they're rising up. You can see it all over the country. The people are angry. So Now he's coming out saying we're going to do this $50 billion thing to provide jobs for people. And, of course, it's just political rhetoric before the next election.
But the thing is, you know, even if he got the $50 billion from Congress, I mean, it wouldn't have any impact on the economy for six months to a year.
But it's rhetoric, you know, and then people think, and that's what he's trying to do, is convince the people that he's serious about creating new jobs. When we sit back and analyze what he's done over the last 2 years, it's been just the opposite. They're trying to suck jobs out of the system, as you've been discussing. So, again, it's just political rhetoric to try to fool the masses into thinking they're doing something they really aren't. The reality is, in fact, if you go back to one of the major bailouts was the Fed stepped in and bought out all this toxic mortgage waste paper from a lot of these international bankers, and the understanding was, we'll buy it out from you at 100% of its value when it might not have been even worth 20% of its value, but you have to turn around with that money we give you and buy U.S. Treasury bonds. So that's another way of financing the folly, and really that's nothing more than government printing press, isn't it? So it's just different ways that they pull out of their hat to try to keep the game going, and they're just really running out of rabbits to keep it going.
Well, they got a new rabbit they're talking about. Now, basically, you're exactly right. They bought this toxic, the collateralized debt obligations or mortgage-backed securities that had been bundled into these bonds, and they were probably worth 20 or 30 cents on the dollar, so they probably paid 80 to 100 cents on the dollar to recapitalize the major banks. But now they're talking about selling the mortgages back to the banks. And what are they going to sell them back? Probably at 20 or 30 cents on the dollar. This is simply a means, a very clever means, people don't understand it, but it's simply a clever means of funneling money out of the members of the Brotherhood of Darkness to the major banks who actually own the Federal Reserve System. Remember, the Federal Reserve is a privately owned central bank, and the stock is owned by the major banks. And so that's how the system works. And basically, what you're seeing is the greatest transfer of wealth that has ever occurred throughout the history of mankind. And there's not one person in, a million who's able to figure out what's going on because they're intentionally making it complicated. It's, for instance, all these programs they've come up with to keep people in their homes. How many different programs? The Bush had programs to keep people in their homes. Obama's had, I think they're probably between Bush and Obama, somebody said 6 to 8 different programs to keep people in their homes. And you know what? Every one of them has failed. Now, how could you come up with programs like that and have them all fail? If they'd taken the original TARP money, the $850 billion, they could have suddenly bought up, you know, all the mortgages and let the people have their homes or pay the government back for it. But they didn't do that. That was the way it was sold to the American people. We need this TARP money, this troubled asset program, you know, and basically Henry Paulson said this money is for Main Street. This money isn't for Wall Street. We're not going to give this money to those rich bankers, because he was a rich banker, former CEO of Goldman Sachs. But this money is for Wall Street. Pardon me, for Main Street, not Wall Street. So the money was appropriated. Barney Fink, who is a sodomite, of course, wrote the legislation, but he forgot to put in that the money was supposed to go to Main Street to keep people in their homes. Instead, they gave it to Wall Street, and then, of course, when Henry Paulson got his greedy little hands on the money, he gave it to the banks, but he forgot to tell them they were supposed to lend it in the United States to get the economy moving. So they lent the money in China, and they lent the money in India, and they lent the money in Dubai and in Spain, but they didn't lend it to the American companies that needed it to keep from going bankrupt. Now, how could Henry Paulson have been that stupid intentionally? And he's not. He's part of the Brotherhood of Darkness. He's a member of the CFR, former CEO of Goldman Sachs. He made $1 billion there, and he has been paid very well for services rented, destroying the vitality, the viability of the American economy. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Is it possible that they are intentionally wrecking our economy? Is it possible that they are intentionally transferring our jobs, our factories, our manufacturing overseas? Is it possible that there is some sort of a master plan, like the Earth Charter, that calls for the redistribution of wealth within nations and between nations and transferring America's wealth to other nations? It's so hard for people to believe that this could all be done intentionally, and yet read the Earth Charter and realize it was written by David Rockefeller's nephew, and you'll begin to understand what this is really all about. The Earth Charter, you can get it on the Internet. If you can't, it's available through Radio Liberty. But go right ahead, Ron.
Well, you know, I think you're hitting it right on the nose, and they are planning to do this. This is an agenda. You know, we've been, when I first started getting involved in this back in 78, 79, reading the excerpt from the Trilateral Commission and their plans, and they just came out clearly and said what we want to do is redistribute the wealth. And so they've done one fantastic job of doing it. I think, though, you know, the good news is that things are getting so bad that even the most confused person out there can't pretend that things aren't getting bad. So people are waking up left and right. Unfortunately, we've been so dumbed down over the last 50, 60 years that people have no concept of what needs to be done. So they're angry and they're rising up. But what we need to happen very quickly is for the proper leadership to come forward and keep all these movements from getting sidetracked and discredited, which, you know, the establishment will do in every chance. So, yeah.
Well, we can actually see that, of course, how they're moving their people into the Tea Party. They're bringing Newt Gingrich in to lead the Tea Party. Newt Gingrich is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a dedicated liberal. He's a friend of Heidi and Toffler, the Toffler's Future Shock. He's totally dedicated to the New Age and the occult concepts. And then they bring in Sarah Palin, and they've simply bribed Sarah Palin. They've given her probably close to $10 to $20 million so she can pay off her debts. And she's a very nice lady, but she's going right along with them. So they're bringing her in because they can tell her what to do, and she'll do it. They want them, between Newt Gingrich and Sarah Palin, to lead the Tea Party movement. And we can't let that happen. We have to have people who believe in America, who want to restrict the power of government, and are not beholden to the Brotherhood of Darkness. And unless that happens, the Tea Party movement will be, I said, no more successful than William Jennings Bryan was, you know, back at the beginning of the 20th century when he was trying to get a silverback currency. And, of course, his old phrase, don't crucify silver on a cross of gold. And of course, but they did it because they wanted to be able to control the gold. At that time, there was a book written by Mr. Walther. We carry it. It's called The Coming Battle. Mr. Walther was a lawyer in 1899. That was when William Jennings Bryant was trying to become the president. He ran for president three times on the Democrat Party ticket and lost every time. But basically, Mr. Walsley said, the banks are going to take over our government. And, you know, certainly many people refer to Goldman Sachs, not Goldman Sachs, but Government Sachs, because so many of the people in key positions in government today come from Goldman Sachs and carry out their programs. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. I think we're seeing the economic demise of America as we've known it. And when we come out, it will not be the same. We'll either have simply done away with the financial system, but have our freedom, or we'll have done away with the financial system and live in slavery with no freedom at all, only the mirage of freedom. You'll, of course, elect your representatives, but they'll have certainly no more power than the members of the British Parliament today, who are do exactly what they're told by the European Union, the bureaucracy, the friends of the European Union. If you've never been to Strasbourg, you need to go there, or you can see the pictures on the Internet, the building where the European Union meets, the members of the Parliament of the European Union, is designed after the unfinished Tower of Babel. What does that mean? It means that they understand the spiritual nature of the battle, the reconstituted ancient Babylon, where, of course, Nimrod, who was a prototype of the Antichrist, wanted to unite the nations of the world, and that is the significance of building a building, a replica of the unfinished Tower of Babylon. And most people in England, in Europe, have no idea what it's about. Most people in America have no idea of the spiritual forces behind this effort to unify the world and, of course, destroy Christianity. Well, Ron, you've got just a couple of minutes. I'd like your thoughts on what's going on.
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, when they passed that health bill, as Pelosi said, we have to pass it so we can find out what's in it. And unfortunately, we're starting to find out what's in it. But just as one example, about a month or two ago, it came out they had put into the health bill that starting in January of 2012, any type of transaction over $600 would have to have with it a 1099 to report it.
We would actually have, if we buy anything over $600, we have to report it, and we have to give the Social Security number of the fellow we bought the things from. How are we going to get their Social Security number?
Well, it's not just $600, it's $600 in a year. So if someone came in to buy a dozen eggs from me, I guess, you say, well, you know, over a year they might buy $600 worth of eggs, so I'm going to have to protect myself and get their Social Security number and fill out a 1099 for them. So obviously there is a brouhaha as the whole world is waking up to fight it. I understand there's supposed to be a bill this month sometime where they will try to repeal it. But I had all these people calling me saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I said, listen, by 2012, the American people will have either woken up and taken their country back and done away with this Federal Reserve system and replaced with the constitutional government, or we're going to be in slavery. So don't worry about whether they have to report it in 2012. You better grab an oar and fight for your country.
Amen to that, and I think you're absolutely right. Is that if you buy or you sell, or is it if you buy or sell? Do you remember? Do you know which it is?
Well, one side or the other has to do it. I guess the guy who sold it has to fill it out.
Well, boy, you better quit buying things and you better quit selling things, because there's going to be an awful lot of paperwork. I mean, where are they going to get all the people to go over all this paperwork?
Well, it's...
Hold that. We'll be back in just a moment. Ron, go right ahead.
Well, the point is that if they do things like that, it'd be the final straw on the camel's back that would just totally destroy what's left of any free market capitalism. And, of course, that's what I think they want to do. They want to create the crisis. And out of the chaos of that crisis, then they will come in with draconian solutions, which we're already seeing the beginning of that now. They're doing things now that would have been totally unacceptable, 5-10 years ago. So I think they're just setting us up, as our favorite politician Al Gore said in his book, the world is approaching a threshold that once crossed will trigger an avalanche of change from which there is no return. And I think that's exactly where they're trying to take us, create the crisis and then use that crisis to impose their one-world banking system.
And I think that people who doubt that is the agenda, you can go up on the Internet, and there's an article there. It's in the Herald Tribune. It's written by Henry Kissinger, January 2009, called A Chance for a New World Order. So you can just go to your search engine and put in Henry Kissinger, Herald Tribune, January 2009, A Chance for a New World Order, and you can read what Henry Kissinger said about how countries are going to have two choices. Either join the international financial system or face chaos. That was it, the ultimatum. Either join, go along with us, or face chaos as a nation. Most countries will give up their sovereignty. And that's why they're doing this whole thing. And it's so difficult for anybody to believe that anything could be that diabolical. And yet, of course, everything that happened back in 2008 was scripted, letting Lehman Brothers go down, let Barry Stearns go down, and simply then, of course, begin paying the banks not to lend money. That was the most incredible thing when the Federal Reserve started paying interest on the money. And you can go back and read my newsletters at that time and find out what happened. But you're never going to hear about this from regular channels. Most people don't know that rather than trying to get the economy going, they're doing everything they can to contract the economy and to put people out of work, to actually shut down their jobs, to continue transferring our jobs overseas, to continue outsourcing our jobs. to continue bringing people into the United States with H-1B visas, to refuse to enforce our immigration laws or to build a fence. In fact, today they have a program where they're illegal immigrants. It's catch and release. It's like catching salmon. You catch them and then you let them go. You never deport them. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a real problem. Ron Brown, thanks very much for being with us. Hang on just a moment as soon as once you get all of our stations back, and I want you to get your telephone number out there just one more time, okay. One more minute here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Ron Brown. Always look forward to talking to Ron every month. Ron, get your telephone number out there one more time.
That's 1-800-595-0561. 1-800-595-0561.
Well, I'll certainly look forward to getting your emails, and if anybody out there would like to get Ron's emails, because he gets the articles by all the really smart people out there, and he sends them to me, and so I can get on the radio and talk about these issues and try to keep our listeners abreast of what's going on. God bless. Thanks for everything, Ron.
Always a pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners, of course, that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we want to remind you about our all-day conference. It's on the 17th of October here at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. We're bringing in speakers from across the country. It's going to be a great time. We always enjoy our yearly conference, and we've got, we've almost half filled at the present time. So if you're going to come, you're going to have a reservation. We're serving a lunch, and we have to know how many people are going to be there. So I'm very encouraged to date, considering we've got almost 5 weeks now before the conference is going to be held. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you want to understand what's going on financially, you need to hear my talk on the financial Armageddon. The financial Armageddon. And then, of course, you need to get our pamphlets. We have a series of pamphlets written on the financial collapse. And actually, I think there are three of them. And certainly one of them goes into the farewell address of Andrew Jackson in 1837. It's called Prophetic Warning. Andrew Jackson foresaw what's going on today and how this small group of people controlling the media, as they did in 1837, were going to take over control of our government unless the people were wary. He defeated the central bank, but of course at great cost. But he defeated it because he believed in America, and he knew that this was certainly partially controlled by others who had a different agenda. He didn't understand the spiritual component of what was going on, but he certainly understood the economic. It's called Prophetic Warning. It's an expensive little pamphlet, but you need to get all of our pamphlets on the financial crisis. The History of Money is an excellent one. Prophetic Warning, and then the one on the current financial collapse. Now you can go up on our webpage at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. All the newsletters are posted there. I prefer to have them in a little pamphlet form so I can review them from time to time myself. But you can certainly read them for nothing up on the Internet. You can listen to our radio programs. You can watch a lot of our DVDs. You can look at another section we have called Videos on the Web. Across the web, and many of the YouTubes and other things that come in that I think are important, why we post up there, or at least links to them. You can watch Building 7 come down. Of course, Building 7 was a controlled demolition, went down at 5:20 on September 11th. And the question is, how did Osama bin Laden ever get the explosives into Building 7 to bring that building down? Because it's obviously a controlled demolition. The first thing you see is the center of the roof collapsing. That's when you blow out the internal structures so the building will collapse inward. And then as the center of the roof collapses down, then you take out the base of the building and it comes down. That's exactly what happened with Building 7. I talked to the man who was there the following day for cleanup. This was his job, cleaning up demolitions. He told me, and you can hear my interview with him on the 911 update. On why did the buildings come down? He will tell you 99% of it was a controlled demolition. It was a controlled demolition. Well, if that was a controlled demolition, then what happened to the Twin Towers? Is it possible that the murderers are still out there? They did not die in the buildings that day. In fact, one of the interesting things is six of the or seven of the hijackers are alive and well over in the Near East. How could that happen? I mean, if they died in the planes, how could they be living over in the Near East? Go up on the internet, check it out. Find out if I'm telling you the truth. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Look forward to seeing you on the 17th. Please pray for Radio Liberty.